Welcome to a new episode of the Tennis Lifestyle Podcast. I'm Gianluca Sola. In this episode, I interview Boris Sobkin. Boris is a legend in Russian tennis. He's a true teacher of the sport, amazing amount of experience. He's worked with many, many of your famous and top Russian players. He's over 70, he's 71 years old, and so he's had a lot of experience. He works and teaches from Moscow. He's an honorary coach of the Russian Tennis Federation. He's a member of the Russian Tennis Hall of Fame, and he's also the president of the Russian Global Professional Tennis Coach Association. Currently, he's working with Alexander Bublik and the Kazakhstan Tennis Federation. He's actually, as you will know, Alexander Bublik has actually been playing very well recently. But he's mostly famous for working like long-time coach, nearly basically all of the career of Mikhail Yuzny for 25 years. Yuzny reached number 8 in the ATP and captured 2 Davis Cup titles with Russia. Other players he's worked with is Laszlo Jere, Evgeny Donskoy, Andrei Chesnokov, and Staskovsky, and that's just to name a few. He's also worked out of the incredibly famous Spartak Tennis Club in Moscow. For those who don't know about this club, it's probably the most influential club, not probably, it's the most influential tennis club in Russia, if not the world. It became a pipeline for producing loads of professional tennis players. Andrei Chesnokov, Marat Safin, Elena Dementieva, Safina Kurnikova, Miskina. I mean, the list goes on and on. I probably don't remember quite a few of them. Anyway, this was a really cool chat with one of the real legends of our sport. I hope you enjoy it. Just one final note. I'm quite unhappy with the recording audio and the app that I'm using. I'm trying to solve it. You will find that, especially towards the second part of the interview of the podcast, towards the end, especially when I do the rapid fire, the audio gets overlapped, the voices, and there's some sort of delay. I'm very sorry about that. I've been trying to sort it out with the app. However, it doesn't seem that they can fix that, but they're working on it. Having said that, it's still very, you can still understand what's going on and what my guest is saying. But hopefully I'll solve that soon or go to another app. Anyway, enjoy it. Ciao, ciao. Boris, thank you very much for taking some time. We've been trying to organize it for a few weeks now, so I really appreciate it. How are you? Where are you right now?
I'm in Moscow.
In Moscow, okay. And what are you doing? Are you still busy coaching, or
at the moment, you know, because of this situation with COVID, I cannot travel. That's why I'm not working right now, but I'm supposed to do it later on.
Okay. Okay. So you're just staying put in Moscow and waiting that things get better.
Yes. I got already 2 shots of vaccine, so I'm waiting a little bit, and after that, hopefully, I can start to work.
Oh, okay. How is it going there? Is it the Sputnik vaccine? Is it?
Yes.
A lot of people.
Yes, I took this one.
Is it a lot of people getting it? Is the process easy?
The process is really easy in Moscow. Okay. It's no problem to get it.
Okay, interesting. I just want to give a brief introduction to you.
The man I'm speaking to is Boris Sopkin. Is that right? Sopkin.
Yes, that's right.
Sopkin. Boris is a GPTCA A star level coach, ATP coach. That's the highest level you can get. He is the long time, or was the long time, I think about 25 years, the coach of Mikhail Yuzny, who reached number eight in the world and captured also two Davis Cup titles with Russia. He also coached many other players, including Laszlo. I don't know if to say it well. Jere, is that right?
Yeah, that's
Right.
right.
Evgeny Donskoy, Andrei Chesnokov, Stakhovsky, and that's just to name a few. You are the honorary coach of the Russian Tennis Federation, and you even earned a doctorate at the Moscow University. You are a doctor of science, professor of science. You're the president of the Russian GPTCA, for what, if people are not sure what that is, that's the Global Professional Tennis Coach Association. You're a member of the Russian Tennis Hall of Fame. And I don't know if you are currently still doing it, but I read that you are doing some consultant work for Alexander Bublik and the Kazakhstan Tennis Federation. Is that still
Yes,
happening?
I'm still doing
You're
it.
still doing that. Okay. Wow, you are really a legend of the Russian tennis scene. I think we can say that.
I'm still alive.
You're
You know,
still well.
I don't like the word legend.
Well, you got two shots of vaccine, so you'll probably be around a lot longer. But
I don't know.
yeah, Alexander Bublik, just to go on from there and talk about it, he started the year very well. Are you happy with his progress?
Yes, of course. Of course, I'm happy, you know, but the main thing of being coach is not to be happy when it's going well. You have to go little, you have to see a little bit forward, you know, because of course I'm not satisfied how it's going. There are a lot of things he has to improve. But anyway, the start of the year wasn't bad. This is for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's had some good performances. So, yeah, I think he's starting well. What is your role? What are you doing with him and the Kazakhstan Tennis Federation? And what is your goal with him?
Actually, with him, we started when we started. I traveled with him and his father, and we traveled tournaments, and also we worked by practice at home. But at the moment, because of this situation, you know, I'm not traveling with him. He just sent me videos. Of course, I am watching his matches,
Yeah.
and we are talking about technique, about some tactical things. So now I'm telephone call, let's say.
Okay. I haven't looked, but is he playing Miami?
Yes, he's playing Miami. He is
Okay.
starting second round. That's why.
Okay. So he still has to play.
Yes, I suppose he's playing Miami, you know.
Okay. Boris, tell us a bit. I mean, you've got a long, many years, and you're a long tennis journey. Can you very briefly tell us when did you start your tennis journey? When did you start with tennis, and where?
I started in 1974. I was 25 years of age at that time. I took a racket in my hand first time, and I started to play. Of course, it was terrible. After that, I fortunately met right people. This was coach of Chesnokov, Tatiana Naumka, and also we are good friends with Olga Morozova and her husband Viktor. So I started to connect with them, and it's like this is going, you know. After
Okay.
that, of course, I learned a lot. I practiced a lot. So,
Okay. This is as a
but I
player.
started.
As a player.
Yes, of course, as a player, as a player. And I started in 1978. I started to play tournaments. Of course, it were local tournaments in Moscow, and I played not bad. I played not bad. And finally, my best ranking in Russia before I quit with this was 25. So it's not bad for the amateur. 25, not among amateurs. 25 among others people. In Russia.
Did you travel internationally in any tournaments?
No. At that time, it wasn't possible.
It wasn't possible. All right.
Wasn't.
And when you then decided to stop playing and you reached your 25 and you decided to stop playing, did you what happened then? Did you start coaching or what
No,
happened?
I think I played last time tournaments. I was 41 or 42. I already started to work with Yuzhny in 1993, and in 1993 I still played some tournaments, and 94 maybe. But after that, I understood that time came. I quit with the tournaments and I concentrated on work with Yuzhny.
Okay, but where did you start? Out of what club? I imagine it was in Moscow.
It was in Moscow. It was the best club of Russia, Spartak Tennis Club. I can tell you the names of the
Yes.
players. Or names of the players,
That's what I wanted to ask you because that's not just any tennis club. Spartak Tennis Club is
it is the best. It was the best club, at that time. I tell you the names. Let's say start from women. Maybe I can forget somebody, but let's start. Kurnikova, Dementieva, Olympic champion, Myskina, Grand Slam champion.
Dementieva.
Yes, Dementieva in Russian. Dementieva, Myskina, Safina, number one in the world. Well, maybe I forgot for sure somebody else,
And
And after,
in the men there was Marat Safin.
of course, Safin. Let's start from Chesnokov, Safin, Yuzhny, Andreev, Tursunov, now Rublev, Khachanov. This is all players from Spartak.
No, I mean it's incredible. The Spartak Tennis Club is
I
tennis.
forgot somebody for sure,
No,
because
I for sure. But I mean, just the names you threw there. This is some of the best players of the world,
yes,
and
for sure.
Spartak Tennis Club is tennis in Russia. I mean, it's an amazing club. And what? Tell me something. How did you get involved in that, and what was your role in that?
I tell you, I was involved occasionally. I told you we got friends with Chesnokov's coach Tatiana Naumka, and she worked with Chesnokov in this club. And after that, I started to practice with Chesnokov in this club as sparring partner. And after that, I became, let's say, member of the family, let's say, because it was like family,
And did you coach from the club as well?
I wasn't coach, I was as I said, sparring partner with Chesnokov. After that, of course, I played with a lot of women players, I worked also with women's Soviet national tennis team when Morozova was the captain of Fed Cup. So, and after that, I started to work in this club as a coach, let's say part-time coach. And 1 year I was head coach of this club. And like this, it was going evolutionary.
Okay. And Yuzhny, did he start from there or somewhere else with you?
I tell you, usually started in another club when he was 4 years of age. But let's say his professional tennis life started in this club, and actually his coach in the in Sparta club was one of the my pupils, and so he start professionally. He started in this club, but not with
Okay.
me. No. I started with him in 93 when he was already 10 years of age, you know, and he started in the club, I think, when he was 8 years or 7 years of age.
Okay. And he was your was he, am I correct, maybe your first player, like big professional player that you coached, or was there someone before
No,
that?
let's say he was the best one. I mean, he reached,
Okay.
as you said, number eight in the world, you know. But before I worked with some another players, their best ranking was around 150 in the world, you know.
Okay. Just to go back to the Spartak Tennis Club, how is it today? Is it still a very influential tennis club in Russia?
I tell you now, situation has been changed a little bit, but it was this year they opened totally new, let's say, brand new tennis club with a lot of indoor courts. Now the facility is excellent, but the school which worked there, this is another story. You know, it's tough to explain, but now it's okay. I
Okay.
mean, facility is really one of the best, maybe in the Europe, maybe let's say the best in the Europe.
Oh,
But
really? Wow. Okay.
there are some problems, but I hope it will be working. It will be working.
Okay. What are they? Are they mostly what surface are they?
They have
The court.
clay indoor, they have clay indoor, and they have hard indoor, and they have outdoor, of course, clay and hard. Now it's excellent facility.
Okay. I'd love to visit it one day.
You will enjoy
Yeah.
it. You will enjoy it.
Going back to Yuzhny, how did you meet him
I
and
met him
when you...
in the club. I met him in the club because I was practicing almost every day in the club, and I saw him. And there was long story, you know, when his first coach decided to quit with coaching and went to business, he had another coach, and she said that he is crazy, and she didn't want to work with him. And almost 1 year he was, let's say, without coach. And I saw that the guy is practicing, young guy, you know, practicing every day with his brother without coach. And after that, I asked, at that moment, I was head coach of the club, and I asked, who is this? Why they are practicing without coach? And after that, I understood the story, and I decided to help them. And I spoke with his father, and we shake hands, and in May 1993 we started to work.
Okay. Was he already as a young boy a very, look, we see him only on court. We obviously don't know him as the public, but was he a difficult boy as a young boy?
I tell you, he was 10 years of age, and he already was really professional one, you know. It's strange. It's
Okay.
strange when we are talking about 10-year-old boy, you know, and he was inside him, he was professional one. He was emotional. He was emotional,
Yeah.
you know. He was shouting time to time when he's making mistake, but it's so normal, you know. It's so normal.
Yeah.
You have to be patient with this. You, of course, you have to work with this. And as far as you know, during his professional career, there were always some things when emotions has gone. But I don't know too many players who doesn't do this, you know. But
Yeah.
outside tennis, this is probably the best person I met in tennis. I mean,
Okay.
like personality outside the
Yes. Wow. And what struck you? Was there something you saw in him as a tennis player already as a young junior? Was he already something special about him?
I tell you, let's be honest, you know. Of course, I can now say, oh, I was so smart.
Yeah.
I saw in 10-year boy, two times Davis Cup champion, you know. It is wrong, you know. And if somebody says you that he can see, you only what you can see that the guy is talented or you can see, but you never say that it will be the champion, you know, because there are many things should happen before it. But first, you know, I saw that he is working hard without coach and he is really hard worker, what I saw. After that, when I started to work with him, I saw that he is talented, that he has really strong character. And I wanted, honestly, everybody telling about him that he is crazy, and I wanted to show everybody that they are wrong. You know, it was a challenge for me to show that they are wrong, because I saw really strong personality, emotional personality, but not crazy personality. You know, that's why for me it was a good challenge. You know, I wanted to, first of all, by myself, that we can do something together.
You can maybe compare him, I mean, personality-wise, to a Fognini or a Pear.
Fognini and Pear, it's another person. You know, usually it's a totally different one.
Okay.
I don't say anything bad about Pear and Fognini. You know, actually, I like Fognini, for example. You know, when we are good friends with Fognini, and I spoke a lot with his father also, but again, you know, it's absolutely different people, because, you know, they grew up in different situations, you know, so that's why.
Okay. Now, I was just saying on court, you know,
on
as
court,
the general
no,
public.
He wasn't on court like Fognini or like Pep, you know, time to time it was emotional, but it's not like a system, you know.
Not the same. Okay. Not the same. Your relationship with Yuzhny, it was such a long one. It changed from coach to father figure to partner, and maybe at the end of the final stage as a long-lasting friend. Which of these stages was the most difficult or challenging?
You know, every page in this book is different, you know, and every page is tough, because it's not easy. It's really clear. It's not easy to work with the same player 25 years, you know. You have to do a lot to do this, you know. But it's very important on every stage of his career. It was very important to understand that he is becoming not a boy, and he is growing up, and I had to change the relations, and I had to change the way of working, and this is not easy. This is not easy. Of course, it's long story how to do it, but the main thing, you know, if you want to work long with the player, you have to be honest with him. If you made a mistake, and I did a lot of mistakes, you know, otherwise, you know, in this business, you cannot work without mistakes, because you are working with human being, you know. But always when I did mistakes, you know, I told him, Misha, I did mistake. It was my fault, you know. We did wrong things because I was doing wrong. We have to change it, and like this, you know. I was always honest with him. I never said that I was perfect when I knew that I did a mistake, you know. So, of course, there are many other things, but this is the main one, you know. I was always...
I think you learn maybe as a player, but you learn also anything you do, a coach or whatever, you are always learning. I think... That is the most important thing.
This is another thing. You are absolutely right. This is another thing. If coach stop learning, stop trying to find something new, you know, he stopped as a coach. He would never be Coach, no, I'm now 71 year of age, but I still learning, I still analyzing what is going on now. Unfortunately, the last year by TV only, but anyway, I'm involved a little bit with Misha's work with Shapovalov now, and of course I'm working with Bobby, so I'm still involved in tennis. I'm still in, but you have to learn. And I still learning now. Otherwise, if you are not learning every day, this is the way for nowhere,
No, I understand. No, it's amazing. I mean, 71 years old and you're still there. And I was going to,
Yes, problem is now the problem is only to stay healthy, This is unfortunately. I always said with Misha, I always said to him, Misha, we can fight, we can play against any player, against any team, but we cannot do anything against time. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But going back to what you were saying, Yuzhny seems to be working very well with Shapovalov. It's also amazing that it's his first, I think, real coaching experience. Does he ask you for advice, suggestions, and you see some influence in what he
I
does
tell
that you maybe did with him?
you, of course, we have really close relations with Misha. Of course, we are talking almost every day by phone. Of course, we are speaking about Shapovalov, what to do, how to do. But I don't want anybody to think that I'm coaching Shapovalov by Misha's hand. It's wrong. Misha is doing this by himself. Of course, he asks me sometimes, and I gave my advices. Sometimes he follows my advices, sometimes not, but he's doing his job, I'm trying to help him and no more,
No, he's doing a great job. You can see that Shapovalov
He's
is really
really smart person, He's really clever person, He knows a lot about tennis, And of course, he has really great experience as a player, what I didn't have, when I worked with him. So this is
He can relate maybe very well to the player as well because he's done it.
And that's why it's going good now. But it's not easy, I tell you, it's not easy. It's not easy.
It's not easy to coach, or is it not easy to coach Shapovalov?
I tell you, no, I tell you, it's not easy to coach anybody on top level, because if you are on top level, that means you have really strong character. And normally people who are reaching top levels, they are not easy people. I never met in my life any easy person who reached top level. So that's why any player, when you are working with him, is tough.
Do you think Shapovalov can win a Grand
For
Slam?
sure, yes. For sure, yes. But
Brilliant.
let's say I have a joke, Let's say the guy saw the girl from the window of tram. It's a long way to the big love,
Okay, so you can see it, but there's a lot of work
It's a
to
lot
do.
of to do, and many things should happen before he did it. But hopefully, it will be soon. I hope it will be soon.
Now talking about your approach, I read somewhere, your approach to coaching is very scientific. What does that mean?
let's say it's this image is made by journalists, you know. I
Okay.
tell you. Of course, I work with tennis science because in Russia we have really strong tennis science group with the head of this group, Anna Skorodumova. And she gave me a lot of advices, and I worked with her really close, you know. So I tried to use what they gave me, what ideas they gave me. So this is, of course, yes, but the main thing in my coaching, you know, I have some system how to do it. No. And it looks like this system is working, you know, because I use this system, of course, differently, you know, differently because player is different. Differently, for example, with Stachowski, with Donskoy, with Jere, I use it absolutely differently. But the main part of the system, you know, it works, you know. That's why. When I'm coming to practice, I know what I have to do today, what I have to do tomorrow, what I have to do next month, and so on. You know, if you are looking forward, if you have a strategy, let's say, it works.
Okay. Is there something unique about your system? If there is one thing that you have to say makes your coaching system unique, is there something? Can you tell us if there is one thing? I know there is many,
Oh,
but
it's tough. Honestly, I never thought about this. I tell you, the system means that every practice, every tournament, you have to have schedule. You have to have right schedule. You have to know when are you practicing, when you are playing tournaments, when you are having rest, what are you doing during practice, you know, and so on. So, you know, it's let's say the main thing, you know, it's planning. My system
Okay.
stays on planning, you know. I'm not doing anything like randomly, you know.
Okay. Okay.
The
Planned.
key word is plan.
Okay. The current state of I know the current state of everybody knows the current state of Russian tennis because they you have some amazing players now. But the current state of the junior tennis in Russia's always produced a lot of players. How do you see it now? Is it very
I
good?
tell you, we have really many good juniors. We have really good juniors, but the problem is the way from juniors to professionals is really tough, and we don't have too many coaches who know how to do it. I mean, how to work. Let's say on the way between juniors and professionals. This is the main thing. That's why many juniors are still remaining in juniors tennis and never become a professional.
Do you think that is why some of these I just mentioned, maybe like Medvedev, to name one person, maybe find coaches from
Yes,
other
this is
countries?
one thing, and the other thing, you know. We don't have enough facilities to practice it. It's tough. For example, you know, in Moscow is really heavy traffic, for example, you know, and if you want to make two times practice, you have to stay at the same facility the whole day. Otherwise, it's no chance.
I don't know if it's true. I heard that Moscow is the worst traffic
No,
in the
not really
world.
the worst one, but one of the worst one, let's say.
One of the worst. I read it was the worst, but anyway,
I
yeah.
tell you, for example, I saw what is going on in Beijing, in Tokyo, in New York. You know, it's pretty the same, you know, but it's heavy one. Of course,
Okay.
it depends. It
Okay.
depends, especially during winter time. It's tough because, you know, we
Yeah.
have another weather condition. Also, don't forget it. You know, that's why But
Yeah.
it's not like not like the worst one, but heavy.
Okay. Okay. Would you say the Russian tennis system, let's call it that way, which has produced over the decades always great players, male and female, is there a similarity in the way the coaches train or the academies train? Is there something common that makes it uniquely Russian, or is everybody sort of doing their own
I
thing?
tell you, in Soviet Union, let's say, we had the system. We had the system. I don't say that it was perfect system, but it was system. Now we don't have a really strong one system because some clubs.
What was the Soviet system, tennis system back then? What would explain it to
The good
us?
part of the system, the good part of the system, what that every talented players, I mean boys, girls, they practiced free of charge. It was absolutely free of charge. That's why
Okay.
the coaches have to find really talented ones, but we didn't have too many courts in Russia. That's why it wasn't really many players, I mean, involved in tennis. Only really talented ones who were separated, they work. But this was good that it was free of charge, and people from let's say not rich families, I mean, can send their kids to the tennis schools. And Chesnokov, for example, the family was really poor. He was without father and so on. And mainly it was like this, all talented players, they weren't from let's say rich families,
And
Not in
today,
Soviet.
maybe like most of the world,
Yes,
it's become a
today it
business.
more become a business, of course, yes. But it's normal also, but now the situation is a little bit tougher because you cannot do it free of charge, This is the toughest things of the situation.
Okay. Well, you can do it free of charge if somebody
No, of
wants
course,
to, but
like for example, I work with Yuzhny free of charge because he knew that he cannot play, he cannot pay, sorry.
It's very fascinating. I mean, I'm sure you have so many stories, but just one story. Well, no, actually, let's talk about today's Russian players. The famous ones are Medvedev, Rublev,
Yes,
Karatsev, and Chachanov. Do you
course.
know them? And where did they come from? How did they develop such
Let's say like this. Let's say
good
like this.
player?
Khachanov and Rublev, they are from my club. So Rublev's mother, I was practicing with her when she was a girl, and I practice a lot with his mother. So this is about these two. Medvedev, coach who worked with him when he was a junior, was one of my pupils. I worked with his coach when he was young, and he was in my group. Because of course my main pupil was Yuzhny, but at the same time that time I worked with other players. One of them became coach of Medvedev. Karatsev, I knew Karatsev when he was I think 17 years of age, first time maybe 18, and he time to time he practiced with Yuzhny, and I saw that he is talented, but I knew he had some problems, So, of course, I know them all.
What do you mean he had some problems, like technical
Actually,
problems,
his
or?
technique was good. Always his technique was not, let's say, perfect,
Okay.
but good. But he had financial problems. He
Yeah.
was injured. He worked without
Okay.
system, you know. And there were a lot
Okay.
of
Why is he? Why has he come all of a sudden at 26? Well, it's not of a sudden because he's been playing challengers, blah blah blah. But why has he exploded
I
last
can
year
tell you
and
there
this
are many
year?
things.
What happened?
There are many small things which happened. You know, he found a coach, the young guy. Maybe he's not really well educated in tennis, but I always said, like coach and player, it's like system. We call it system key and locker. You know, so they. Karatsev's locker found his coach's key, you know. So they became a good team. After
Okay.
that, his coach organized good conditions for his practice in Minsk in Belarus. So there are many things, many other things happened before he started to play good. But I tell you, he always played not bad. For example,
Yeah.
usually played with him two times at ATP events, you know, once in St. Petersburg and usually beat him, and once in Moscow, Karatsev beat usually, you know. So that's why I knew that he's a good
Okay.
player and he can
Okay.
play really good, you know. So that's
Okay.
not decision.
And what? Yeah. And I mean, both Medvedev has got a French coach and Rublev is Spanish. I'm not sure about Chechenov,
Ulyanov now
but
has two coaches,
why?
one Spanish, one Swedish.
Okay, two coaches. Okay, wow. And why is that? Did they just find did they practice a lot in
It's
other
much easier.
countries
It's
or
much easier for them to practice, for example, in Spain or in France, because weather conditions
Yeah.
are better.
Okay.
Easier to travel, you know, and there are some other things. For example, Medvedev, he went to France because his sister lived there, so he had a place where he can stay. You know, there are many things, you know.
But would you agree that maybe the Russian players stay in Russia until junior age, but then they all try and leave, or they have to leave
Let's
if
say
they want to
usually
take the
in
tennis
Zarco
further?
tells that they don't have to leave. This is first. But again, you know,
Okay.
it's easier to practice. It's much more easier to travel. You know, it's cheaper to travel because there are some organizing things which are going easier. You know, but. A lot we spoke a lot
I
about
see.
his
Yeah.
Safin, for example, because his point of view that he would never be a player if he stay in Russia. And I told him maybe you would be better player if you stay in Russia, you know. But nobody knows, you know, you cannot say
Okay.
anything. The history cannot say what could happen when it's going another way, you know.
And all these players, Medvedev, Rublev, etc., Shashanov, did you expect them to achieve as much as they have? Did you see that
I tell
coming
you,
or not really?
Shashanov, I saw that he could play good, but I told him because he was actually in my camp in Thailand with his coach, with his previous coach, Vedran Martic. He practiced together with Yuzhny, with Donskoy in Thailand. And we spoke a lot with him and with his coach. And unfortunately for him, in juniors, he had some technical problems, and he still have some problems, have some technical problems, which are limited his game, let's say. But it was clear that he could be a good player. You know, Rublev, let's say in Russian we say Rublev, he's course, everybody saw that he is
Bluff.
really talented, and I knew his grandfather, and his grandfather was really good sportsman, wrestler, and he had really strong character.
Okay.
And I spoke with him. I spoke with him, and he told me that Andrei has really strong character, and he will be really good player. It was clear for everybody that he is so talented, and you know, it was easy to say. You know,
okay.
About Karatsev, I told you when he was 17, I saw that he would be a good player.
Yeah.
You know, but let's say life circumstances. Everybody has different circumstances. He has tough circumstances in his life, you know. So Medvedev,
and Medvedev,
his coach, because again he was my former pupil, you know, and he told me that he is talented, but it wasn't that clear like with Khachanov and Rublev, but he had really strong character, and of course it was clear that he could be a player.
Which of these four do you think, or if there's somebody we don't even know of, do you think will make the most titles or win the most slams,
you know,
if they will?
I don't like to talk about future, because tomorrow another, for example, much stronger disease, like now we have COVID. But maybe tomorrow will be another much stronger disease, and everything stop, you know, or somebody will be tough injury, and so on. You know, there are many things could happen that I always say you have to stay right here and right now. So I don't like to talk about future.
Okay. No, that's fine. I understand. I just thought maybe you would... You had a little sense of maybe one
of
them was
course,
going to
no, of course
stand
I'm
out.
About this.
It's
of
fun.
Course, I have something in my head about this, but I don't want to talk about this because it's honestly,
but
I really believe that it's
no,
happened,
no, I
you know, because again, so many things could happen in this life.
Yeah.
So.
Of the young players, young ones that are coming up, I'm Italian and I'm very excited about Sinner and Musetti.
Yes,
and there are some other ones also. Is there anybody that you have seen and it's like, wow,
let's be honest,
really is amazing?
I wasn't too much involved in junior tennis in past years. So I'm not really well informed about this. So that's why I don't want to say anything because I'm not 100% informed about it, you know.
Okay. Going back, I've nearly finished, but going back to Yuzhny, you know, okay, I must tell you, first of all, I've never really had a favorite player, but when he played, I wanted to watch his matches because he was an exciting player. And he was not only his tennis, as a personality, you wanted to watch his matches. What is this thing with his salute? Where did that start?
Maybe you remember,
and,
in the past, there was really good player from Thailand, Paradon Srichapan. And this player,
no, I don't know. I don't know.
We were good friends with him actually. And this player, when he won matches, he always said thank you to the public with two hands, specific Thai, you know, I don't know how to say it in English, with two hands.
Yes.
You know,
and
we spoke to Misha and
like praying.
Wanted, to do something special. From him, like Paradon did this, because Paradon only one person who did it like this, you know. And I don't remember when it was, but he had really tough match against David Nalbandian at US Open. It was five sets match, and Misha was injured during the match, and it was tough match, but finally Misha won this. And occasionally he made this salute, you know, but he made this salute without racket on his head, just by hand. But in Russia we say don't put, don't make salute without anything on your without anything on your head, like cap or something like this, you know. And Misha after that think, okay, I'll put racket, you know, on the head, and after that I make salute. And after that he started to do it, you know. It just occasionally, you know, because it again it was really emotional match, and he and public was crazy. They enjoyed it. They supported both of them, you know. And finally, Misha wanted to say thanks to the public.
Okay. Last thing, I don't want to be too controversial, and maybe you can correct me, but I also recently read that you made a statement about Roger Federer. You said you probably would not be surprised if he doesn't play
I didn't
anymore.
Say like this.
Do you still think that?
I didn't say like this exactly.
You didn't
maybe
say
I
that.
Said something
okay.
That it will be tough for him to play, but I didn't say that I didn't that he will play. Roger, you know, destroyed everything in his life because, you know, he's genius for sure, and he maybe he will play until 50 years of age, you know. But of course, getting tougher and tougher for him.
Yeah, and last year Djokovic, the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
When the incident that happened there, what do you think of that?
Let's be honest. It's bad luck for Djokovic. It's really bad luck, you know, because he could throw the ball, you know, without touching linesman, and nobody will just, you know, do it. Actually, one day before, I watched Bedene match. I don't remember whom did he play. And he did the same, and the ball touched cameraman, and nothing happened. And nothing happened.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
He wasn't. He just got warning, and I think he even didn't pay a fine. You know, but it was Djokovic. It was, you know.
Yeah.
Bad story about because it's woman, you know, and she was shocked, he was shocked. I think it's bad luck and nothing more.
Okay, no, I just wanted to ask you. I read that as well. Yet, Boris, thank you very much. I won't keep you too long, but I have this rapid fire quiz now that is quick. I give you questions. You can answer very quickly with the first thing that comes to your mind.
I try.
Are you ready? Okay. What is your first memory of tennis?
Alexander Mitervele. This is actually Sergio
who's that?
Mayer, who was in the final of Wimbledon.
Okay. If you have to define what type of player you are, somebody's never seen you.
I'm defender.
How would you define yourself? Defender. What current player would you say resembles
again,
you the most,
the
your playing style? No, I'm saying if there, what player, current player,
actually
resembles,
no,
looks like you the most?
Now players are much better than me, you know, because I just kept the ball in play, you know. I have no clue about serve and so on, so there are no players like me.
Okay. What was your best shot? Okay. Current favorite player, male and female? Don't have. List the big three, so Djokovic, Nadal, Federer, from your favorite to your least favorite. Okay, the big three, Djokovic, Federer, Nadal. List them from your favorite to your least favorite. For you, who is
Honestly,
number
I
one,
don't
two,
care
and
who's
three?
number one from. They are all different. You know, I like different things in all of
Okay.
them. So maybe I don't like different things from all of them. But I don't have number one, two, and three. You know, I cannot say this. Sorry, but I cannot.
Okay. Best match. Okay, fair enough.
I
Fair
saw
enough.
many
Best
good
match
matches,
you've ever
so I don't
seen?
have, let's say, best match I could say about. The most
Best
emotional
match.
match was
Okay. Best tournament in.
Davis Cup for sure. Russia against France in 2002, with Yuzhny beat Mathieu in deciding match. Three sets was he was down two
Match,
sets to
yeah.
love, and then four sets he was down to four and was 2 points away from the losing. This is was the most professional one.
Best
No, I
tournament in the
don't have
world.
best tournament. There are some tournaments I really liked. You know, for example, I like tournaments in St. Petersburg. I like tournament in Indian Wells. I like Australian Open actually.
Okay.
Clay
Okay.
for sure.
Favorite
But for
surface?
me,
Clay.
like repair, you know, let's say.
Sorry? Yeah, for you. For you. Yeah. Okay. What is the most, but I think you've already answered this. Yeah, no, don't worry. This one is an interesting one. You have to book a restaurant. And you can invite three players. It can be male, female, current, or old players. Doesn't matter. Which restaurants
No,
do
I
you
tell you
book
the
and
name
which players do you invite?
of restaurant in Moscow, but it doesn't say anybody this name, you know. Actually,
Well, you can tell us.
in the past, in the Soviet Union, I had favorite restaurant. It was Aragvi restaurant in Moscow, but this restaurant is far away in the Soviet times, you know. Whom I would like to invite?
Okay.
Probably John McEnroe, Ivan Lendl,
Okay.
and Chris Evert.
More. Chris Evert. Okay. Interesting. Very good. What is your
My
favorite
favorite
food?
food? Eggplant in different ways, cooking in different
Yeah.
ways. No,
Okay.
I'm
Do you
not.
like pizza?
It's.
No. Okay. Do you have any hobby that is kind of different,
I
like
like
not
football,
involved with tennis? Anything
soccer.
else you do that you enjoy?
Of course, Spartak.
Soccer. Okay. Which club do you like?
Obviously.
Spartak. Okay. Obviously. And are you know, players are very
What does it mean,
superstitious people.
superstitious?
Are
I don't
you
know.
superstitious? Well, you know, a lot of these players do, like, before maybe they step on
Okay.
court, they don't step on the lines, or they put
Okay.
bottles in the,
I
you
always
know what I mean? Yeah.
put my tennis shoes starting from the left leg. Little bit.
Ah, so you
Only
are a
I
little bit
always start
superstitious.
my
Okay.
left shoe.
Little Okay. How
I
many
try to do
hours
it
do
nine
you
hours, but
sleep on
sometimes
average?
less. Sometimes when I can, maybe more, but let's say from 7 to 10.
Okay, that's very good.
Of course, Russia.
Which is your favorite country in the world?
You
No, you
know,
can't pick your own country.
I like many countries, you know, but it depends what are we talking about, you know, from. I mean, what do you mean visit? To have
To
a
visit, to
vacation
visit.
there or to visit?
Yeah, to go, yeah, to go on vacation. What is your favorite
Didn't have
country?
vacations for a long time, for a long time, you know. So that's why I tell you, I don't have, honestly, I don't have just one, you know. Because
Okay. No, it's
favorite
fine. Do
city
you
besides
have a favorite
Moscow,
city?
again, you know, I don't have, I don't have
Yeah.
particularly one, you know.
Okay.
Yes, I was
Do
born
you,
in Moscow.
Moscow is your city forever? Yeah. Okay. Is tennis
I
the most
hear, you
difficult
know,
sport in the
my
world,
opinion,
in your
as far as
opinion?
I know, they say that technically tennis is second after golf, you know. But for sure, tennis is tough sports because you are alone and mentally it's really tough. Because when you are playing in the team, it's easier for sure. It's I cannot say
Okay.
it's easy job, but it's easier because in tennis you're always alone.
Would you be agreeing with
I
coaching
don't
in
understand
tennis?
again.
Would
What do you mean?
you like to see that happening? Would you like to
Yes,
see
I
tennis
always, you
change that
know,
a
I said
coach
it
is
many
allowed to
times.
go on
It
court?
will be better for tennis if coaches will be involved like in other sports, you know.
Okay.
And actually, I like the system. I like the system which
Okay.
was testing at US Open, for example, when coaches were sitting on the designated seats and can talk with the players anytime
Yeah.
when they are on their side, you know. It was like the system, it was working, and nobody
Okay.
said that it was bad, you know. It wasn't disturbing, and so, you know. I had a funny story about this, if you want.
Okay.
Funny story about this coach
What you had what?
sitting.
Sorry.
I used the system during
Yeah,
tennis at
tell us.
US Open.
We
At that
yeah.
time, I was working with Stachowski, and Stachowski was playing final round qualies against Felix Auger-Aliassime from Canada. And Stachowski had match
Okay.
point. The score was 40-15, and he had match point. And he was on the same side like me, you know. And he looked at me and said, "Where I have to serve?"
Yeah.
I told him, "Serve white." He did it. It was ace, and he went to shake hands. This I laughed.
Okay. Okay. Wow. Okay. Fantastic. Yeah. That's nice. If you were not involved in
I don't
tennis,
know,
what would you be
honestly.
doing now?
I don't know. You know, I'm already more than 10 years retired officially.
No, okay, but if in your life you weren't going to go the tennis route, what would you have
What I
been
did
doing?
before,
What
you
would you have
know,
done?
teaching in the university.
Okay. In 2050, so 30, about 30 years from now, do you
It
think
will be
tennis will
different,
look
but
very
let's say
different?
I would not say the word very. Let's say it, I prefer to say it would be different, like this.
Okay. Okay. Now I will give you a shot and you must tell me the name of the person you want that shot. So, for example, let's start with serve. Who do you
Serve?
pick? Can be
For
male or
sure, tough,
female,
obviously.
doesn't matter. Yeah.
Djokovic.
Karlovic. Return.
Federer.
Forehand,
Yuzhny.
backhand,
Volley.
volley.
Volley. Probably Becker.
Okay,
Djokovic.
drop shot.
Nadal.
Mental toughness.
John
Touch
McEnroe.
Feel. Touch feel of the ball. And presence, aura.
What is it?
I don't know if you understand that, like aura. Presence, like that doesn't need to, when somebody walks into a room, he has a presence, he has an aura. So he maybe intimidates you or without saying anything or you know what I mean. Like for example, Federer, if he is in the locker room, maybe he has a presence that already gives him an advantage, or is you can feel there is Federer in the room. You know what I mean? Probably Federer. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Boris, thank you very much. I have the final question, which I'm sure you will like, and then we are finished. The final question is, ask yourself a question and
answer. Do you
answer.
Still enjoy to work? I say yes.
Okay, fantastic. Fantastic. I really enjoyed this, Boris. I didn't know you, and I researched, and it's fascinating. And I'm sure with so many years in tennis, we could have talked a lot longer, but I don't want to keep you too long. But it was a pleasure, and yeah, enjoy the rest of your day, and hopefully you can get back to work soon.
Send me the link to the podcast. Yeah.
Definitely. I will as soon as I have it, I'll send it to you.
All the best. Bye.
Okay. Okay. Ciao, ciao. Thank you. I'm sorry, you know, man.